From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Out of the blue, we find out that there's going to be a trailer for Rogue One, and it premiered today. Corey, it was amazing. Yesterday, I was looking on Twitter, and all of a sudden, I see something from StarWars.com and from Good Morning America saying, tomorrow morning, there's going to be the brand new teaser trailer for Rogue One. And I was like, I was electric. I was so, couldn't believe, I just wasn't expecting it. What did you think?
Yeah, it, like I said, it came out of the blue, and just reeling off this week, they released the DVD, Blu-ray, and then it's almost like, okay, now we've kind of wrapped things up with that. We're moving into the next one. And like you said, it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. I hadn't even heard anything. And to be honest, I hadn't really been following Rogue One very closely at all. And it's due to the fact that I don't want to. I want to kind of separate myself a little bit from that. And so when I see things, I kind of either, you know, disregard it or just, you know, click away or something like that.
And to be fair, that you haven't missed anything because there's been nothing about it besides a cast announcement and an image, one still image. That's been it. Like you said, I think it's completely, once The Force Awakens was out on Blu-ray, it was time to transition to something new. I never really thought about it like that, but that makes complete sense. And I did something yesterday that I never do. It was a teaser for the teaser. It was 11 seconds long. I usually don't bother looking at that stuff because I just want to embrace the entire trailer at once. But yeah, I watched it, and I saw that image of that stormtrooper that looks like a pre Phasma, but it's clearly not
pre Phasma.
And I was just like, "Oh my gosh!" And I sent a message to you and Jeff and other people, and everybody was stunned. Just one image alone, everyone went crazy. It reverberated throughout Twitter, went all through fandom, and then today, like right off the bat, Good Morning America showed it, and they had like a countdown to it showing up. I don't know about you, but the first time I watched it, I was getting ready for work to go to school, and I had my phone out. I was getting my keys and stuff, and I thought, I'm going to check right now, and it was on, and I watched it on my phone. It's like, it's how I watched The Force Awakens the first time, the trailer on my phone. It wasn't on purpose. It just worked out that way because I was in a hurry, and wow. I mean, I want to hear your first thoughts before we even go into the actual trailer itself.
Sure. Yeah. I woke up knowing it was on debut today. And another friend of mine who worked with a Star Wars fan, Jared, you know, I've been kind of talking about Star Wars here and there and whatnot. And I texted him after you texted me saying, oh, there's a trailer tomorrow. And he said, well, what time?
Wait, did I break the news to you?
You did.
Oh.
You yes, beat me to it.
Yes.
So you point to you, friend. I rolled a message into an nerd friend of mine to kind of let him know. And he said, what time? And I said, oh, probably around like the 10 o'clock time, you know, usually when the day gets started. Because that's kind of seems like that in the past they've done things kind of naturally in the morning and this kind of lasts throughout the day. And like you said, I woke up and checked. I was checking my phone. And the first thing I saw was a tweet. I don't know who it was from, but it was like, trailers drop, blah, 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 hashtag this, hashtag that. And I was like, whoa. So I kind of like, I didn't want to read that. So I kind of put it down. I thought, okay, it's out. I want to experience it, you know, the way I want to experience it, which is great, which I love technology. So I kind of thought I could watch my phone right now, or I could just get ready naturally, you know, get dressed and brush my teeth and, you know, make sure my breath doesn't stink, things like that. Gel up my hair, look good.
Sure.
You know, got those things, put the eyebrows, stuff like that.
Every that, day?
No.
Be a wolf man?
You should speak, right?
You're kidding.
No, but got ready for the morning. Yeah, talked to the wife a little bit, and I had a few minutes, and I thought I'm just gonna walk down my computer and experience it on my my desktop there, Mac, and I kind of got everything queued up and got the headphones on, and just it's kind of similar to what I did with The Force Awakens. I knew it was there, and I wanted someone to experience it. You know, close my door and kind of just give myself 2 seconds to just be like, okay, let's do this, and started it and watched it, and I'll just give you my first. Experience was
just overall. Tell me overall.
I didn't know what going in. I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, I haven't been following very closely, and I wasn't really. I honestly, I wasn't really keen on this film. I kind of threw it off to Nowheresville, and not to say that I wasn't interested, but it's the fact like, oh, you know, I'll get around to it type thing, and that's kind of my mindset because I've been trying to do that with a lot of films these days with you know Captain America. You know, Superman, Batman, stuff like that, just to be able to have a real context going into the film in theaters and have that experience more pure, if you will. And for this, I was really blown away. I love the first introduction to the characters. We can see all kinds of colorful images. The grittiness is there. And I found myself like going like that, oh, like shortness of breath. About the midway through that the alarm scene where the alarm starts going off. And like, I really literally felt I was watching like original trilogy film. It had that feel, had that urgentness that, you know, they're rebelling, they're moving fast as they can. There's the secrecy to it. But I just love seeing these characters on the screen. I was like, oh, this is really cool. The Felicity Jones character was really cool too. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And Forest Whitaker's voiceover was really demanding to me. It just had this, I don't know, this interesting approach where he was like giving words of advice, but also in a sense warning her, you know, and then it kind of ended there at the last moment. And I was like, wow, I'm blown away by this. I did not expect this. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's fun to hear you say these things.
Yeah.
And I like that your tradition of going into your office and kind of closing yourself off from the world and just sort of drinking it in. That's way, way more glamorous than me watching it in my closet on my phone. But I made up for it. I watched it probably 14 times on the huge projector with all of my students. So, you know, that's the right thing to do. As you mentioned, it's not that I wasn't keen on the film. It's just something I knew was coming up, and I was excited because it's a Star Wars movie. But I'm into 7, 8, 9. I'm into the episodic Skywalker stuff. And there's nothing to compare Rogue One to. It's a Star Wars story. The story that they're telling is something that's compelling. I was excited about. So I was excited about it probably – I think the best way I can think of it is when I get excited for Avengers movies – I feel about Avengers movies the same way I do about Captain America movies. They're the pinnacle of that particular platform, mm-hmm. right? And when I go to see something like Ant-Man or Thor or even the second and third Iron Man.
Oh, I see.
Those are like a little below for me. I'm still pumped to see them. And I go see them the first day and I get excited and maybe buy a t-shirt or whatever. But it's not the same level of hype. That's how I felt about Rogue One. And then I watched the trailer. I had a feeling when I saw that small clip of that new stormtrooper-looking thing, I had an idea that this was going to be special. But when I watched it, I was transported to this weird place that was fascinating. And I haven't talked about this yet, but I think the best description I can give about how I feel about Rogue One is this looks like the movie I would have predicted would have happened if George Lucas did not sell to Disney. And he just eventually some other company or some other director picked up Star Wars and tried to put their own spin on it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this is the sequel that I sort of expected would happen long before I even knew that there would be Disney purchasing Lucasfilm. Does that make sense?
It does. It's interesting you put it that way.
Because it's just a different style. Yeah. I mean, you've got stick fighting now in Star Wars.
That's right. Kung Fu in Star Wars. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you put it that way. And somebody else had mentioned, I think it was some people at work were talking about it. They said, oh, I was trying to explain to some folks at work where it landed in the saga. Somebody said, oh, it's a prequel. And I was like, oh, yeah, it kind of is. I mean, like, if you're setting a timeline of Star Wars, it is a prequel, but it's not a Skywalker's prequel. So in that context, and like that's the other thing too. Was cool. But watching this was like, I wasn't looking for Luke Skywalker. I wasn't looking for Anakin. I wasn't looking for Darth Vader. You know, and the characters I knew or lightsabers, right? So everything we saw, aside from stormtroopers and the Empire, and knowing, you know, going in that this is going to be a pre original trilogy film, everything, every piece, like you said, is there, but it's set. The setting is different. It just has a different feel, and it was a good feeling. It was something that, it's hard to explain it, I guess, in the fact that, like, yeah, it's somebody else that picked up the reins to direct a film in the Star Wars saga. This is what you would see. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it just feels different, but I'm shocked at how much I'm embracing it.
And me too.
You know what I mean?
Me too, yeah.
It's pretty spectacular. So let's go ahead and
kind
of go through – let's just talk about particular things that stood out to us. Give me top three. Is that reasonable?
Sure, I'll give you a top three and then maybe like one of my favorite part from the film. Yeah. Okay, so first off, the interesting part with me was the dirt and the grime. That love, that gritty feeling. You know, you felt like a rebel. You felt like you're part of this rebellion. You get a chance of like the urgency. So I feel like that it's the original trilogy that the crews are running around, they're looking to make a move or whatnot. And it felt like original trilogy to me. So overall, like atmosphere effect was really original trilogy to me. I felt like, oh, that's really cool. It's really something that stuck out in my mind for this film.
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, right away that Yavin 4 feel and seeing those rebel helmets that, you know, we'll see later on the Tantive 4, the opening of the original Star Wars, and that was pretty neat. The big thing, I mean, I guess we're not ranking right now.
That
blew us away the most, but things the first thing that stood out to me was the piano, the haunting yet beautiful music that we know so well from the John Williams, you know, cacophony of music that he has for us. And I just thought, wow, this is a different kind of Star Wars. There's some piano, it's haunting, it's chilling, it's something new. And I found that to be refreshing in a way I didn't know that I wanted.
Yeah, it's interesting you put it that way. And now that I think about it too, just listening to the music throughout the piece throughout that, it wasn't John Williams, but it felt like a little bit more like Hans Zimmer, something you would see in a superhero film.
Or Avengers or something like
that. Or Avengers, yeah. Maybe not so much like instrumental, but
the music. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, remember the Inception trailer was like that, big horns blaring, there's urgency going on. So it had that feel to me, but also it had the twinklings of John Williams in there, those cues, some of those, you know, Skywalker feels, but not. I didn't feel Skywalker to me. It felt like it was Star Wars, but not necessarily that saga or that lineage there. So it did feel Star Wars, but I mean, it was pieced together differently. So that really helped the atmosphere too.
Good deal. So what's your second?
Yeah. So let's see, man, there's so many different things. I want to say too, the cast, the characters.
Is this your second one?
Yeah, this is my second one.
Right.
So yeah, this is the characters I think were very interesting. Every different one they showed on the screen there were different, unique looking, different armor, you know, different ethnicities. There was and that goes for the Imperials as well. We had like total different ranks of stormtroopers. We had Imperial officers. We had cloaked figures. So it was like such the broad spectrum of a non Skywalker centric movie. In this, so I was like, "Wow, this is really unique and really different, different walks of life." There's something going on directing these folks to do something, to be able to carry out a mission or whatnot. I have no idea, but it's interesting to see all these great folks on the screen, almost like a bunch of character actors that are all playing these bit parts, kind of to come together as one. So I think that was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of diversity. It's new. You don't see Jedi Knights. You don't see. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel familiar at all. I mean, it doesn't feel familiar at all. Mm-hmm. And it, but it's Star Wars. And,
but it doesn't feel familiar, but it does.
It's like, so, yeah, it's so, but even more, even less. And it's just, you just embrace it in such a, it's just so unique. The second thing I want to point out is, and I've heard her name pronounced, you know, a whole lot today because I've watched this trailer quite a bit. But it's Jyn Erso, J-Y-N-E-R-S-O. This is not an intuitive name for people to pronounce that are native English speakers. But and that's okay. That's Star Wars for you. But she's cool. I mean, she's super cool.
Yeah,
And in the instant classic line, this is a rebellion, isn't it? And they show her fighting these stormtroopers and kicking the snot out of them. Then she says, "I rebel." And she just said, "A matter of fact," and they pan Mon Mothma, who everybody's freaking out about, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
this is the actress who played Mon Mothma in the deleted scenes of Revenge of the Sith, which is super, super cool.
Yeah.
But Felicity Jones, her character, I mentioned this in something I wrote on the site, but she looks like Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. Mm. But to me, this character, this story, it's hard to tell from, you know, 2 minutes, but it feels like that sort of idea of oppression. But this one seems to have heart and hope, even though it's not going to be warm and fuzzy, but it just, it just seems unique. So that's the second one for me, Jyn Erso.
Yeah. So, man, I'm trying to think of other things that
three's let's make six. Like, okay. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
There you go. So I want to say, too, the cinematography, the shots that we saw single figures standing in rooms or in, environments that were big. Like the one that really stood out to me, and I'm just going to say it, was like back to the custom of the characters. I don't know who this guy is. And something just struck me about him. What's that?
Which guy are you talking about?
So I'm going to call him White Cape.
Okay.
Gray. It looks white to me. Now, he's the Imperial officer, looks like a Grand Admiral maybe. I don't know the rankings that well. I'm sure the 501st folks got that dead on. But he's a figure that looks like Ian McKellen a little bit from the shot that we can see. It's not Ian McKellen. It's a different actor. I don't recognize him either. That's the other thing I like about this is the actors were not, you know, the Tom Cruises and the Brad Pitts, but these are character actors that are committed to roles that are new to the saga, and it's really great. But this character really stood out to me, the way he was standing on the – looks like he was on a bridge of a Star Destroyer or maybe on the Death Star there. We get to see a lot of that too. But he stood out to me in that scene. Just the cinematography there was really unique, and it was, I was like, oh, that's a cool shot. That's something really cool. And the way he just is looked imposing, looked smart, looked calculating. I was like, this guy looks detailed. He's something about this guy. And I got the implication that I don't know why he got so interesting to me. I'm more of like a rebellion side person. I'm not really necessarily Empire. And like, this guy stood out to me for big time. I don't know why.
I think he reminds me, I mean to cut you off, he reminds me of, you know, Christoph Waltz is?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When I saw him, the way he was standing in his hair and he had a lot of strength without doing anything, I thought, that looks like Christoph Waltz. My goodness, I wish he was in this film. So I don't know who that actor is. I'm sure other people do. And cool, I'm sure I'll know, you know, we'll
know in a matter of months. I mean, well, he'll be a household name pretty soon, I'm sure. But it seems to me like, I don't know what his role is, but it just seems like he just has this power of just of presence. And again, there's another shot of him walking through some water, his back to us, and the cape kind of flowing through the water. And I thought, man, that dude can pull off a cape like nobody's business. And I was like, that was very cool. So maybe that's my third thing to kind of talk about.
I was going to save that one for like five, but I'll just talk about it now since we're talking about it. Yeah, there was something, again, compelling about him and the way that strength he had. He clearly has menace, which is pretty cool to have someone who has menace in Star Wars that isn't wearing a mask. So that tells me that he's like, he's personal. He's out there. He's not hiding from anything. He's not hiding from himself. This guy believes in what he's doing, and that is dangerous. And I don't think he's a character that we already know. I don't think any of these characters are characters that we already know. And I love that, too. So, and just the way he struts around in the end, that scene with the cape. Every time I see that scene, for some reason, I always worry about the fact that it's getting wet. Is that ridiculous?
Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, you should dry that off. Yeah. No, it's not ridiculous at all. I know what you mean. But
what's your fourth one?
So fourth one was, the kind of the atmosphere. It looks like we can see like a tropical planet of some sort. And to me, I was like, oh, they're in Florida for sure. So the palm trees were kind of sticking out, and as the AT-ATs were kind of busting down on the rebels there, and some of the scenes are like, oh, that's a unique location, something we haven't seen yet, you know. So I thought that was really cool to see a new world we haven't seen yet. So that was fun to open that up.
Do you think we'll see the Krusty Krab there?
I don't think so. I don't think they're in this film. Maybe you're thinking something else.
The next one for me is the Death Star.
Oh yeah,
and that gorgeous, amazing image of the dish being put on the Death Star. Mm-hmm. Right before that, the Star Destroyer flies by, and I sort of had a feeling that I did when I saw the Force Awakens trailer for the first time. I saw the Falcon roaring on the screen. I was like, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, that's the Falcon. I've seen it 10 billion times."
Right,
and then I think about it, and later I'm like, "Well, yeah, but this is a new time." And I felt the same when I saw the Star Destroyer, and it hits you later. Well, yeah, but this is a new shot, a new time to enjoy the Star Destroyer, not mm-hmm. in the ways you've seen it before. And But I was so like, we've been Death Star to death and Star Killer Base. Hmm. That wasn't even a pun. And how am I going to feel about the fact that the Death Star is front and center, even though I had an idea that it would feel differently because this is about the original Star Wars. But when I saw they were putting that together, that might be, I think that's my favorite image of the entire trailer, that dish being put on the Death Star. And I mean, imagine how long it took to line that thing up. If they screwed it up, is it righty tighty? Do you think they set that
a little left, a little right? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's stunning. I mean, that's my favorite image.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good point too, because you know, as much as we see this small group going up against the Imperials. I didn't expect to see the Death Star in a sense. I mean, I know it's there. I know what the whole idea is to steal the plans for the Death Star. But like, yeah, it's something that's imposing. It's something that's fearful. That's coming together. It's cool to see this. That's the other thing too. It's cool to see this part of the saga fleshed out a little bit on the screen. Lots of this era has not been kind of traversed a little bit since Rebels, I guess. But seeing this, this construction put together, and then seeing the power again—the power of the Empire. I forget that sometimes when I'm watching other films and such, and even with Episode 7, it's so large. It's something very cool, but yeah, it's good stuff. For my next one, I guess.
This is number five, right?
This is number five. I'm going to go Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, he's a big name guy. I like him. I like the way he acts. He's obviously an award-winning actor. Big presence to Star Wars saga. But it's interesting, his character was, he looks like he's either some kind of a bounty hunter or a rebel of some kind, of some ragtag team of folks. He's giving some advice. He's obviously been through a lot. He's hobbled. He looks like he's limping a little bit. He's gritty. He's beat up. He got this huge armor on. Looks like he can hold his own in a fight. He looks really cool. I knew he was cast in the film. We hadn't heard anything yet, but to hear his voiceover and give that presence, I was like, oh, he looks really great. So I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think it's interesting how you're looking at like big picture stuff and I'm picking out certain scenes. Usually we kind of do it differently. So that's fun. For me, the next one is the combat.
Yeah. Saberless.
Yeah. It's the notion that, the stick fighting in Star Wars, are you kidding me? And, the whole gritty feel of this entire thing as you're seeing Felicity Jones in that. I mean, when she's looking, it looks like she's in a vehicle. I feel like it was a Hummer, even though it's not a Hummer. But I mentioned this to you before. It feels like the Hurt Locker Star Wars edition, with the explosions and the real danger there. That has a very strong sense. I love Rebels so much. I love Rebels, but I always feel like the Rebels are almost the same size as the Empire because. Just the way that the show is focused on the crew of the Ghost, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And that,
sure, right.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's 100% amazing and one of my favorite animated shows ever. But this, this show felt like it was small and the Empire was overwhelmingly powerful and huge.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I don't know who that gentleman is with the stick, who's a stick fighter. I can't, it looks like he's training the Imperials, but he might be fighting them. I don't know.
Oh man, his name is on tip of my tongue. Danny.
I mean, I'm not, I'm talking about his character name in the,
Okay. Yeah,
his actual name, that the actor, although I can't think of that name either, but it was really raw and intense and amazing. Like we've never, I mean, we've seen a lot of combat in Star Wars, but not legit hand to hand kung fu fighting. And it looks like we're going to get that. And I'm pumped. I think that's a poetry. I think that's a ballet in its own. When you see that on the screen, the Matrix is maybe the best example of that. So to see something, this isn't the Matrix, but the combat, the kung fu, the intensity, the physicality, that's my number five.
That's a good point. Yeah. And along with that, I'll put a little note that, you know, I enjoyed that too. It showed that it's not, it shows also the oppression some of these characters are undertaking too. He's surrounded by stormtroopers there, and in a flash of light, he's taken one down with a couple strikes. So he's not a guy to be messed with. So that's pretty cool.
This is probably a good time to talk a little bit, take a bit of a break, and talk about the amazing Star Wars Card Trader app.
Well, that's something too I want to mention too. Is like, as much as like the, when this dropped, I felt like you said, it was like a drop in a lake where it reverberated out of our Star Wars community, and you saw it on social media and such. One of my first thoughts was like, hey, what are they going to do with the Star Wars Card Trader app? You know, well, I hadn't thought about doing, you know, their whole Rogue One version of selling cards or trading cards on the little app there. And I was like, oh man, that'd be really cool to get some of these characters in action and get some of their cards and be able to collect those and trade those with my friends on this app. And it's been fun because I've got a couple of friends at work play it. I got them, got the collecting card itch. So we talk about it a lot. And we had that conversation today at work. And then we were saying, hey, what if there's going to be a card that drops today? Kind of introducing us to the teaser trailer or something. But
I was really hoping that.
Yeah, I know, me too.
The app obviously doesn't disappoint you. It's, I mean, right now I'm chasing the Force Awakens Classic card. I'm going for the green because it's a smaller odds. But there's the new portrait ones.
Oh, yeah, I just started portrait.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome too. There's the silver variants. The new sets, the blue-red, you know, the blue-red sets that are out now and the white sets. It's round three basically, and it's awesome. So if you're not yet playing the Star Wars Card Trader app, go ahead and do it now. It's on iTunes. You can get it through Google Play as well. It's a great app and a lot of fun.
So Dan, for my last kind of big moment in this trailer, I'm going to go with the final shot with Felicity Jones' character. And in the darkness there, and then the lights come on, and you hear Forrest Whitaker voiceover, and he says, "What will you become?" And she's in this Imperial uniform. That solidified it for me right there.
She's a spy.
Is she a spy, or is she? Yeah, I don't know what to think.
She's got
to
be a spy. I mean, she's wearing it in the Imperial logo, and she clearly is, you know, a member of the rebellion. Hmm. She rebels. So I think this is.
So she's a spy for the rebels or a spy for the Empire?
Well, she's a spy for the rebels. She must be the one who gets the plans.
Well, right. But I mean, like, it's interesting the fact that, like, you just don't put a suit of armor on and pretend you're a stormtrooper like we've seen in the past. Doesn't work out so well.
That's true.
You know, so they run a tight ship. So anybody who puts on a uniform and is looking to spy on the Empire or steal from the Empire, you know, bad things are going to happen. So my thought was like, you know, is she really working for the other side and she's messing with the rebels, or is she, you know, it's interesting. The fact too, it's she's the uniform she's wearing. It's not your typical, you know, outfit. It looks like something you would give to, like a Kallus agent or, some kind of, secret group. I know some guys at work were saying that like supposedly it's supposed to be a uniform that like the CIA of the Imperial off Imperial
the Imperial Security Bureau.
Yeah.
That's what like Agent Kallus.
Yeah. So it looks like something he would wear if she's looking to infiltrate the rebels. So that's the thought that came to my mind. And I, of course, I have no idea.
But, I'm saying that's interesting you think that, because I feel like they went out of their way to show you the opposite. But your second, you're trying to outthink them, which I like.
Well, that seems obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to for a twist like that and see where it goes.
But then yeah. If that was a twist, do you think they'd reveal it already?
They didn't. I mean, they just showed you a shot. That's all they showed you. They don't know what. It's up in the air right now. I have no idea. True. But
did you when she turned like that? Didn't it look like she had like a backpack? It almost looked like she was a ninja turtle, and she's gonna pull like katana swords out. Do you know what I mean?
I think those things on her back are some kind of fighting sticks or something similar to, you know, something like a billy club or something. Maybe electronic billy club or I don't know what you call it. I don't know what you call it. But maybe she has more skills than we think. Or I mean, obviously she shows it fighting off some.
She's pretty hardcore. So this is my last one, isn't it?
Yeah, go for it.
It's hard to come up with something else that we haven't already discussed, quite honestly, because there wasn't a lot there. But I guess I'm just going to say, again, the overall feel, the overall tone of this thing blows me away. And then, you know what? I know what my next one is. I mean, it's easy. And it is someone in black bowing, being subservient to someone that you don't see but is surrounded by smoke. And there are the Emperor's Royal Guards on either side, which, you know, originally first appeared in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a quick scene. Right after the Jedi, we talked before with the white/gray cape. So cape. And one looked powerful and dangerous, and one looked like the ultimate evil. I mean, let's just be honest.
Not Darth Vader.
It looks like it could be Darth Vader.
But he's wearing a hood.
Yes, he's a Sith Lord. There's no reason. Maybe it's just like something new. Maybe it's like a new fashion in the.
But here's the thing about Darth Vader is such an iconic. He has an iconic look that you cannot disguise. If it's Darth Vader, it's Darth Vader. If it's not Darth Vader, it's not Darth Vader.
Yeah, maybe it's that guy that we just saw with the cape.
My other thought was like it could be somebody who broke into the chamber and has allegiance to the Empire, and he's bowing down for some reason for. I'm assuming Royal Guard means Emperor to me. So yeah, Emperor's in that scene somewhere. It's not Zordon from Power Rangers. I know that.
I don't even know what that is. I don't even get that reverence, but right on, brother. I've never seen a single episode of that
show. Oh, come on. You have.
No, I haven't. I remember I'm like 10 years older than you, dude.
It's true. So, Dan, now that we've whittled down to kind of our six things here, I think let's wrap up with maybe with our final thoughts and maybe our favorite thing from the teaser. For me, it was the blaring alarm. It just gave me that
alarm from when the Death Star is about to blow up in the interior.
Yeah, it definitely pulls me right into the original trilogy. That sound was like, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. I've heard that before. You know, and I was like, this seems so familiar to me in a sense of like a different aspect of something else going on. And that rushing scene of these characters running throughout this Imperial base, some sort, if it's on the Death Star itself, I don't know. But it's just, I loved that scene. I love that noise. A lot of people are kind of saying, oh, it was kind of annoying. And I could see that too, but it's just like, that just made it Star Wars for me.
It was dramatic.
It's dramatic. It was a sense of urgency. I was like, that right there really blew it open for me. And I was like, I'm all in for this. This looks incredible. I cannot wait.
It was like, it gave me a sense of panic.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, the rebels would feel. Yeah. And that's cool.
Exactly.
I think my favorite that you said, that's your favorite thing.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing.
My favorite thing. I mean, my favorite image is the Death Star, but my favorite thing is a tie between them recapturing Yavin in a very realistic, modern way, but
yeah,
it's
like
old, and the Death Star. They're the same. We know them so well, like the back of our hands, but they're new, but they're not new. The fact that they were able to capture those two things, that essence, shows me that we are in for one heck of a ride. And seriously, like we said, now I'm Star Wars excited. I was excited. Popcorn, summer movie, cool, it's Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
But more like I would be excited about a new book or a comic or something like that. I love those things and I get them right away, but there's nothing like a Star Wars movie, and looks like it's going to deliver.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm excited for this, and you know, overall, like you said, it has that Star Wars feel. And I want to say kudos to the actors and the directors and the producers of putting this together and giving us that feel. Because Gareth it's Edwards. Not Gareth Edwards. I think similar thing along the lines with J.J. Abrams and Episode 7, Force Awakens, was giving that Star Wars feel. That is the most hardest thing to capture in a film. And I think
that's authentic.
It's authentic, yeah. So, like I said, we were kind of on the fence, you know, here and there, and that really swept us up as far as our fandoms and the way we like to celebrate the saga itself. And to me, it's canon. It feels weird, but like I feel like I've become a Star Wars fan all over again. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It's like Star Wars keeps reinventing itself. This seems to be the most drastic and dramatic, and I think the franchise will be better for it in the long run. And I don't know how they could possibly build off of this movie, but I don't think that's the point. I think that they're going to do Star Wars stories that are one shots perhaps. And it's exciting that when we heard on Rebels Recon that Dave Filoni said in season 3 of Rebels we're going to see tie-ins to Rogue One.
Yeah,
I don't know how overarching they will be or how immediate they will be. Maybe it'll just be subtle nods or Easter eggs, but I'm hoping for more. This is that time period that we're sort of basking in now in Star Wars fandom anyway. We're not 30 years into the future with The Force Awakens, so there's plenty to be excited about. Corey, any last minute thoughts about the teaser trailer to Rogue One?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to learning more. I would like a little break, I guess. they're doing a good job of parceling things out. I felt this was a good moment. I didn't expect this, being a Star Wars fan, but, this gets me hyped up for the film in December. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So let us know what you think and share a cup of coffee with us as we enjoy the anticipatory moments to Rogue One.
Chewie, get us out of here!
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.